Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1, my reading is a little lengthy this morning. I'm going to be in verse number 7 I'm going to start with, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 23 and read you about 10 or 11 verses. Well, I want to help you this morning. I want to help you. I want to help me. I want to help our church. I want to help our land. I want to help our youth. I'm more concerned about our youth. I've loved on my grandson for the last 2 days, and I'm telling you, when I pick him up and hold him and look out and watch the evening news, I just want to sit and cry. He's not living in the same America that I grew up in. It's not the same. And I want good things for him. I want him to be able to live and experience the blessings of America that I've had in my life. How good God's been to me. Hey, listen, I haven't had to worry about an army coming through in my neighborhood and killing me, blowing my house up, taking my family. I've not ever worried about that in my lifetime. Hey, listen, but there's an enemy within our nation today that I'm afraid of. Amen. You begin to vote them into power. And friend, you're opening the door to the enemy. Here's where it changes. Verse number 7 of Proverbs 1. If you found it, shout amen. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. No one wants to be told they're doing anything wrong today. I'm telling you, this anything goes in society is not correct. Amen. According to the Bible. I don't care what. And I'm not speaking of political parties. I'm speaking of individuals in our homes today. I'm speaking to you. You. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That's God speaking through the pen of the preacher here, Solomon. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour my spirit out. And then when I pour my spirit out, you're going to understand my words. But you can't understand my words without my spirit. Here's what he said. Because I have called. And you refused. Now you can say what you want to, but America's turned a deaf ear to the word of God. A deaf ear. Who's turned a deaf ear to the word of God? The Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents, the Baptists, the Church of God, the Pentecostals, America as a whole. You know what we've done? Turned a deaf ear to the word of God. He said, I called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices, For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day, and for letting us be in your house again, and for what you've done in this place, and what you're going to do. God, upon in myself, I am inadequate. I'm unable. I can't do anything on my own, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm praying you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue, and you'd preach me inside the bounds of this book. And if these words would go out today, and it'd touch our people, it'd touch those, Lord, that are listening on the internet and by a CD or however the message might go out. And God, I'm just trying to exalt my Jesus. Help me in what I do today, Lord. Oh, God, help me do this. If there be a lost soul in this house today, I pray this day the Holy Ghost would open their eyes, the Spirit be poured out, and that knowledge be acquired that comes from your word, and that salvation might be obtained, and that they might be saved in the day of wrath. I bless you. I praise you. I give you glory for everything, Lord. In the King's name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. Now, in the day that Solomon wrote these proverbs, it's the zenith of the nation of Israel. There's a golden temple set up on a hill in Jerusalem. When the sun shines in the daytime, it lights this thing up. There's a cloud inside the holy place, the Shekinah glory of God. There's a reverence to the house and to the people of God and to the person of God. There is an understanding that God is sovereign and high. When all the enemies had come against them, God had taken a little nation who was the least among any and turned them into this that was to be the example for the world. And you know what they done? They decided there was a better way. They looked at all the nations surrounding them, and they began to say, I kind of like that. Yeah, but look what God's done for you. Look how you've been blessed. Look how happy you've been in the past. How good it's been. There's not been an issue. When the army rises up against you, God slays them. He's put you in this place. The servants was happy. Solomon was happy. The people was happy. The Queen of Sheba said the half hasn't been told. There's never been anything like this. This is unbelievable. And yet, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that isn't enough. I think I want something else. This proverb is written for 62 years, 60, you can plus or minus two on each side of this. The prophet Isaiah wrote 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And for 60 years, Isaiah's written to the people of Israel, and he starts out the writing with, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that call light and darkness. Woe to all these things. Woe. And you know what the people said? Really? Not really. Then Isaiah passes from the scene and Jeremiah comes on the scene. And Jeremiah prophesies for about 40 years. 40 years being a probationary number in the word of God. It reigned 40 days and 40 nights. David reigned 40 years. Solomon come on the scene. You check out the 40s. And generally it points to a probationary period. So there's something happening in that period that you better pay attention to. Brother Johnny, what happened?
They said, nah, not really.
The enemy's at the gate. Yeah, but they're not going to take us. Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, I don't like what you're saying, preacher. I'm going to put you in the prison. It's not going to change the fact the enemy's at the door, and they put Jeremiah in the prison. And it happened just like he said. What happened? The enemy came, took them captive. Ezekiel preaches for about 21 years in captivity. Ezekiel's taken into captivity between the first and the last captives. He's in there by the river Kibar, and he sees all these visions and these things, and it's a lot of symbolic language, and it's a lot of things that's hard to understand. But here's what isn't hard to understand. Is when you get to about chapter 8, I think it is, the abominations that he's seen. And these abominations went, they went from their idols to their whorish worship. It was a thing of prostitution in their worship. And it comes to this, Brother Gordon. It comes with them looking. They've got their faces toward the east, and their backs are turned on the temple, and they're worshiping the sun. And Ezekiel said, for this abomination, there's no forgiveness. We had these abominations. Now, there's three things that God done in all these prophecies, and stay with me this morning. First, here's what God always does. God always gives a warning. He gives a warning. What God, kind of God would he be if he didn't warn them about what was coming in the future? God gives a warning. You see it in the day of Noah. You see it, you come down all down through the ages. He's always had his man. They've always given the word. There's been a warning given. But from the warning, and once the warning was given, here's the long suffering of God. He didn't just pronounce judgment immediately. Here's what it goes. It goes from warning to waiting. You know what the Lord does? The Lord just does what he does, and he sits back and he waits. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that should all should come to repentance. He's given an opportunity for all to come. You know, Noah, the door was open 7 days there. Anybody could have gotten the ark for 7 days. But they didn't get the ark. And finally, God got through waiting, and he shut the door. Well, I've just read it. You would none of my reproof. You're going to cry, and I'm not going to listen. This is going to be a little graphic this morning. But you know what they done? When they come into the city, you can read Josephus. You know what they done? They impaled children and women. They just took spears and lifted them up and done it for sport. And God let it happen. And God let it happen. Now stay with me just a little bit, dear. I want us to see, why did this happen? Because after the waiting comes the wrath. There's the warning. You'll see it over and over in the Word of God. There's the warning, there's the waiting, and then there's the wrath. Now, I'm glad, Brother Danny, we live in a different time and dispensation than what transpired in that day. But here's what's not different. People. People. There's been a lot said here today. I didn't speak with Randy. I didn't say anything to anyone prior to the prayer room this morning. I didn't say anything to Brother Gordon before Sunday school class. I don't know what Brother Wade taught on, but here there's been a lot of talk this morning up on abortion. And I'm going to go and say, you need to get off this wagon. I don't ride this train very often. But you know, but it fits my message today. You know the thing that God wouldn't forgive, Brother Irvin? The innocent blood. Manasseh killed all these kids. And God said, look, I can overlook a lot of things, but that's the one, I can't overlook that. And though, even though Manasseh sought repentance at the end of his life, and he humbled himself before God, you know what God said about it? Yep, but I can't undo what you've done. And somebody's going to pay. Do you understand that the wrath of God's real? We live such, we are such candy-coated Christians in America today. I don't think we comprehend. I spoke with one of the funeral home guys, or former funeral home fellas, and he said one of the saddest things I ever seen was cremated babies in them little bitty urns. I said, God help. Are you kidding me? You want to know something worse than that? And some people never come and pick them up. He said, can I take the ashes of those babies and put them in the flower bed? Can I do something with them? Do we have to leave them back here? He said, oh yeah, the state regulated. It's regulated. You can't have them. They're just going to, where are they at? They said, I'll tell you this. God knows where they're at.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But the wrath of God's real. Now, I'm trying to be as careful as I can be today in delivering this message. But I want us to understand, we've had the warning in America. Now, and I'm glad to be part of the church, but here's the thing. Here's something we need to understand. God let Jeremiah suffer right along with the rest of them. Are you with me? And I'm going to prove a point right here in just a moment. In my opinion, Junior Gardner said, never preach that, Mike. Never preach that. I'm going against what the old teacher said. But in my understanding, we are in that waiting period. Why? Because we are still, whether some disagree or not, we are still in the dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. That ought to make everybody in the building smile right there. Hey, you know what that means? There's still opportunity. The door's still open. The ark door hadn't been slammed shut. We can still get in. They still hope. Brother Roger Buck told me this morning, 5 kids were saved at their retreat yesterday up in Kentucky. Hallelujah. God's still in the saving business. You can still be saved today. Hey, the waiting period is now, but the wrath is on the horizon. I want us to do this today. He said, you wouldn't at my reproof. The fear of the Lord's a beginning of knowledge. So I want us to do this today. I want us to fear to be considered. Number one, fear considered. I didn't give a title, I don't think, of this message, but it's failing to fear. Failing to fear. The fear of God's gone in America for the most part today. And I'll say this, it's disappeared out of a lot of churches. Failing to fear. There's no fear. There's no fear of God. It's the beginning of knowledge, the understanding. There better be a fear of God, friend. Listen, you may get through this life unscathed and never think you need Him, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, then you're going to meet Him. And there isn't some lofty place we drift off to, floating on clouds or an abyss somewhere. Friend, it's either heaven in the portal of God, or it's hell underneath and burning forever. Amen. If that's wrong, this book's wrong. It's amazing to me the things that Isaiah said would happen in that 60 years that he preached. When it come Jeremiah's time, you know what? Happened just like he said 60 years prior. Just exactly. I'm going to show you some things that's happening today. Fear considered. Matthew, I'm going to read you a couple of things. Now, here's what he was. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's Jesus. So as it was, how was it in Noah's day? Men's thoughts and the intents of their hearts were evil continually. All they thought about was evil things. I mean, Hollyweird out there, if you don't think, if you're against them or you're not for them, they think you're a nut job. Listen, getting married 32 times and having, that's not the will of God. And actors are hypocrites. That's what an actor is. He's pretending to be something they're not. So I'm supposed to listen to someone who's pretending to be something that they're not and think they know more than I do. They don't know more than that book does. But there's no fear, Brother Johnny. They fail to fear. Consider the fear. Should there be fear? Well, let's look at the days of Noah. Huh? You know what? Speaking of the waiting. For 120 years. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Man's days will be 120 years. That's what he said prior to Noah beginning to build the ark and preach. So we believe that for 120 years, Noah's constructing this ark. Don't you know the people walk by and said, you nut job, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? Because it's going to flood. How's it going to do that? He's watering the ground from underneath. It's going to rain. What's rain? Well, rain in that day is a lot like wrath today. People never seen it. They don't believe it. But don't you know when the door shut and the first drop hit that guy in the head, that he said, what's that? And then God opens up the ground and then the water starts boiling. And he opens up the heavens and the rain starts falling. Did you see what a little flooding done around here the other day caused Pat and I to have to drive 20 minutes out of the way to get around because Sherwood Farms Road's flooding. They need to fix that. Bigger culvert and raise the road. Then I'm not inconvenienced. Just a little bit of flooding. But this flood killed everybody but Noah and his family. Why? Because that wrath that preacher been preaching about for 120 years, it showed up. And what happened to him, Brother Johnny? They're all destroyed. You still with me? So that don't have anything to do with us today, preacher. Oh, yes, it does. Let me read you this. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Have we seen any of that? Kingdom against kingdom, there shall be famines. They're starving to death in certain parts of the world, and America's on fire, Australia's on fire. And pestilences, I want to stop right there. You know what the pestilence means? It means disease. Anybody heard of a thing called coronavirus of late? A few years it was bird flu. What is this? It's the pestilence. That word means disease. Notice it's a virus. It's not an infection, so antibiotic doesn't treat it. and earthquakes in divers places. I challenge you to Google earthquakes and look at the increase in the last 10 years. I don't believe it's coming, preacher. Keep your head in the sand, ostrich. All these are the beginning of sorrows. You know what this is? Just prior, according to Jesus, to the tribulation period that's going to fall upon this earth after the church is raptured out. My point is this. We're having to endure some of these things right now. It may be closer than you think. Consider, fear considered, fear confirmed. Here's what he said. How do we know when the fear has been confirmed? Well, it's when we believe it. Isaiah 55:6 says this, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's near. When's that? That's the waiting period. That's now. There was 5 children in Kentucky yesterday that realized they need to be saved, and they called upon the name of the Lord. Majority of adults today say, I don't need that. I don't need that religion. It's not religion you need. You need salvation. Amen. I'm going to prove it in just a moment, according to Scripture. Why do you keep using that book? Because it's all come to pass. He hadn't missed anything in 6,000 years. I don't think he's going to start now. Even the most... The scientists that were the least convinced have said in past years, at one time we think the whole earth is covered in a flood. Hello! They taught me that in Sunday school when I was a little boy. And you know what? Bless the Lord, I've believed it ever since. I believed it ever since. I get a little bud up my lap and I sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And old sinners, and I'd say, that's you, little bud. Plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hey, I want him to know there is a God in heaven, and there's an intercessor at the right hand, and there's a way to get out of this mess one day, and you'll not do it on your own. It's by and through the blood. Why are you so convinced? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going with the guy that got himself out of the grave. You go with whoever you want. Because if you trust in yourself, you'll stay in the grave. There's only one can get you out of the box. Seek him while he may be found. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. We're learning that in Sunday school right now. So fear is confirmed when we seek. Fear is confirmed also when we serve. Someone quoted this verse today. Joshua 24, I think verse 15. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Your fear of the Lord is confirmed every time you come through that door and take a seat in this house. You know that there's somebody up there that's a lot bigger than we are down here. And to get there, we've got to have him, because you can't get there on your own. So we come into his house and we worship him and praise him and thank him, because every good gift's from above. Every good thing I've ever had's from him. In him I live, move, and have my being. He's my God. I'm his child. And I'm telling you what, he's worthy of our praise. So I'm going to serve him. I don't serve him as well as some, and maybe a little better than others. But I'm going to do what I can. You still with me? I'm closing up right here. Fear considered and fear confirmed. I'm coming down the road, the snow on the trees. I got that boy in the back seat with Pat. We're headed to Crossville Friday morning. God whispers these 3 things in my ear. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I told Pat, I said, I just got my message. She said, hallelujah, because usually that means it's a lot better day at the McCoy house on Saturday. You ever considered the fear of the Lord? Have you confirmed it in your life, your lifestyle, and what you do, how you live, who you love, your enemies? We learned that in Sunday school. Lastly today, here's what fear is in the life of a Christian. This will help you. Fear is cast. Now, I fear him. I reverence him. I trust him. Fear is cast. What do you mean? Because 1 John says it like this, chapter 4, about verse 18, I think. He said, perfect love. What does it do? It casts out fear. Why? Do you love him perfectly, Mike? No. Whoa, you're the preacher. You're supposed to love him like nobody else. Oh, no, I'm made out of the same mud you are. And I wished I could stand before you today and say, I love him perfectly. But that's not how it works. What casts the fear out of me is that he loves me perfectly. He loves me when I'm not lovable. He loves me when I'm undeserving. He loves me like, and I love him because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Hey, that should cast the fear. Little Bud can have this assurance in his life from his earliest understanding. He can understand this. This guy's not going to hurt him. But I am going to correct him. And there's going to be things that he's not going to be able to do if I'm around him. Why would I do that? That seems like that's being mean because you don't give him their way. No, it's because I love him. And he chastens those that he loves. Hallelujah. I know he loves me because he whips the time out of me sometimes. And he casts that fear away. I trust him. I reverence him. I fear him in this respect. It's the beginning of knowledge. No, you better fear him. Because you don't breathe lest he lets you. Amen. You think you do things on your own. And here's would be my question to everyone before they, when they come on their deathbed and everybody in this room is going to do it. And to the unbeliever and the one that says they can do it on their own, when it comes to that last breath, here would be my question. How are you going to get your next one? Because you won't. Because you can't. 1 Thessalonians. Now, how do you know that today, preacher? Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Soundness of mind. You think I'm out of my mind, but according to Scripture, I'm in my right mind. I'm even left-handed, so I'm really in my right mind. The rest of you right-headed folks in the left side. He's given me hadn't given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. You know how my mind is sound? Because of this word. And here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Here's how I know, Brother Eddie Davis said, I'm okay today. Because Paul said this, that Jesus Christ had delivered us from the wrath to come. That's how I know I'm not going through the wrath of God. Because he said, Jesus, not Mike, not you, not the Free Will Baptist or the Pentecostals or anybody else, not the Church of Christ, the Church of God. No, Jesus Christ had delivered us from the wrath to come. That tells me two things. I'm delivered and the wrath's coming. You don't have to, listen, many because they don't consider the fear, they've not confirmed it by their lifestyle. It hasn't been cast away. And when it gets right down to leaving here, they're going to be scared. And he said, that's why I'm not real big on deathbed confessions. Now, I have witnessed some. Brother Grover had an aunt who we went to see in the hospital up here. And she was on her deathbed and didn't know it. And she got saved. And how I know is that is when they came in the next day, she said, as soon as I get out of the hospital, I'm going out there at Sunday school at Mike McCoy's church. I've got saved. She died. I mean, 11th, it was 11, like the Sunday, like the song, 11:59, she got in. The thief on the cross just barely got in. I'm not real big on deathbed confessions. Brother Grover's own daddy, Clayton Padgett, wouldn't leave him alone till he led him to the Lord, and then he died. But there's some getting in and saved from the wrath to come. D.L. Moody said, he was in an orphanage, or it wasn't an orphanage, it was a children's hospital. Come to the piano for me, friend. It was in a children's hospital, and there was a child there whose mother was too sick to be there, and his father was dead. And when Moody found out the situation of the child, he said they were going to amputate the boy's leg. And the little boy was there, and Moody found it odd that he was as cheerful as he was. And he asked him, he said, son, he said, I'll stay with you as long as I can. He said, but I'm going to have to leave, and I'm sorry, but you're going to be by yourself. He said, no, I'm not. He said, yeah. He said, your mama is too sick to be here. Your daddy's already gone. And said, you can't. And of course, the hospital staff will be here, but you're going to be in this room by yourself. He said, no, I'm not. He said, well, who's coming with you? He said, Jesus said that he'd be with me. And I may not see him, but I'm going to know he's here. My point is, he wasn't afraid, because previously he hadn't failed to fear. His fear had been given to the Lord, and the Lord had cast it away. Would you bow your heads today? Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.